This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, Edenderry Garda Station remains closed for specialist deep cleaning after two Gardaí became seriously unwell while processing seized vapes at the County Offaly Station on Wednesday and were taken to hospital. Garda sources said the two members of the force who were handling the items became very ill after being overpowered as they processed and bagged items from the hall. Cannabis vapes emit fumes and also include lithium batteries. So what harmful compounds are in these illegal vapes? We're joined now by John Crown, consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital. John, just speaking in a general sense, what do we know about these vapes and what can they contain? And these are illegal vapes we're obviously talking about here.
Well, hi, Shane. The legal ones are bad enough, but the illegal ones obviously contain various cannabinoids, which is basically, you know, marijuana-like derivatives. And the actual circumstances of how this exposure took place obviously have not been fully disclosed, but one of the speculations is that there was some leakage of some of the substance onto batteries, and as a result they vaporized and the air became saturated with them, and the poor Gardaí were overcome. I do hope they've made a full recovery. It sounds like they have. But certainly in addition to the normal components of vape, which is full of all kinds of really bad chemicals, you then throw the cannabinoids into the mix and you've got a perfect storm of bad things. Not only are you getting the usual ill effects, but you're also getting the ill effects of perhaps a very intense exposure to marijuana derivatives.
Yeah, and just before we talk about more general vapes, these vapes with HHC and THC in them, they are illegal, I think I'm right in saying.
Yes, they are.
And
absolutely.
They are used by people because you get a quicker high, I think, than if you're just simply smoking cannabis.
Yes, you can get a much more intense experience from them.
But there are serious side effects, potential side effects.
Oh, well, cannabinoids are not harmless drugs. I mean, they can cause mental problems, they can cause acute psychosis, they can cause behavioral problems, paranoia, they can cause delusions, hallucinations. You know, they are potentially quite dangerous products. And getting an involuntary exposure to them in a situation where perhaps those who take voluntary exposures may have some degree of control over where they are, but it's horrific to think that people were getting an involuntary exposure.
Yeah, it really is. And as you say, we wish those two Gardaí well. Obviously, the vapes that are legally available do not contain anything like that. Do you have concerns, though, about what is in those vapes?
Oh, for sure, Shane, I do. I mean, for a start, they contain a variety of chemicals which have been shown to be highly irritant. They can cause damage to the lungs. Which many of them do, that contain nicotine, then a whole other world of problems associated with nicotine, such as circulatory problems, fast heart rate, constriction of blood vessels. And in addition, of course, one of my main concerns with the nicotine-containing vapes is addiction, that it's a way that the industry have of breeding a new generation of nicotine addicts who sadly, in many cases, will decide to sate their addiction ultimately by going on to smoking, just at a time when, as a society, we've made such tremendous progress against smoking. And smoking numbers are, you know, very low. It's depressing to think that large numbers of young people who have been particularly trying to protect from smoking are now being exposed to the potential for nicotine addiction.
And is it something, do you think, many young people are now vaping that wouldn't have smoked, say, 10 years ago, for example?
I think we've made a colossal blunder with vaping. I mean, I think vaping would have been a really legitimate and effective smoking cessation tool. And it should have been something which was limited really, you know, for that circumstance. It should have been under some degree of medical or pharmaceutical regulation, perhaps even a prescription-only product as a nicotine replacement product. But instead, we allowed it to become a new and, you know, inaccurately billed as harmless vice. Whereas, in fact, it is clearly a high number of youngsters. I mean, I've seen very frightening figures of 20 or 25% of young people have now vaped at some degree of regularity. And we don't yet know what percentage of those people will go on to develop a more full-blown nicotine addiction for which they will need smoking. What we do know is that vaping, even taken on its own merits, is not harmless. I mean, these are toxic alien foreign chemicals that under normal circumstances we would never let into our body, that for some reason we have grandfathered into common usage as something which people can now, you know, buy without prescription in an unregulated fashion in vape shops. We have regulated it to the extent where those under 18 are not supposed to get it. But I think we all understand how well that system has worked with other substances over the years. This was a real error on part of our society and not of other societies.
If you were Minister for Health in the morning, what would you do? What changes would you make?
Well, I'd probably try and make a few friends first before I could do anything in the Department of Health. I suspect there would be a scale of priorities. I mean, for another day's work, I've long been a proponent of a very fundamental reform of the health system, the kind of reform that was actually promised to us at the time of the 2011 election by Fine Gael and Labour, but which they quickly welched on after they got into office. But let's not go there today. In terms of vaping, I would... this will be hard because there are people that are obviously making their living from selling vapes. I would put them on notice that they had a limited time span to be able to sell vapes in an unregulated fashion, give them a chance to diversify their businesses into something else over a period of several years, and then let it be known that after a certain day, vaping would only be a highly regulated activity, probably dispensed only by pharmacies, with some type of registration of use, as perhaps not every vape would have to be given on prescription, but people would have to have some kind of a medical note stating that they were taking part in smoking cessation, and as such, they should have access to vaping products. And other than that, they should not be allowed. I would also, by the way, on a more revolutionary way, I wouldn't necessarily go at the route of bringing in a minimum, you know, chronological calendar date after people born after which cannot smoke. But what I would do is make it known, probably through EU level functions, I would make it known that the policy was that at a fixed date, sometime 10 years from now, 15 years from now, it would no longer be legal to grow, manufacture, and sell tobacco products for profit. If people wish to grow them in their backyard and smoke them themselves, that's fine. But there is no right to addict youngsters to carcinogens, which is basically the business model of the tobacco industry.
Okay, well, look, thank you indeed for talking to us, John Cran, consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital. Lots of people getting in touch about vapes, Kira.
Yes, someone says THC and vapes, psychosis in a bottle is how an 18-year-old described it to me back in December. I really believe this needs to be talked about, as people are not aware how dangerous the liquid being put into vapes is.
When prohibition exists, then drug potency becomes stronger. We saw this with alcohol prohibition in America. Legalize and heavily regulate the strength and accessibility of cannabis products, and the demand for these synthetic cannabis vapes would disappear overnight. Is that the experience in America? I'm not so sure it is.
They have legalized drugs in parts of America. For example, Oregon legalized drugs and then recriminalized them because of the fallout. Be careful what you wish for. I'm not sure that we... What happens if you open Pandora's box, I guess. Vapes should never have been allowed in this country. We spent millions trying to stop people smoking, and then we allowed this, says Brian.
Don't ban vapes or else it all goes underground. We know this. Government needs to think honestly and be more creative about this.
Someone says, my son's on vapes. It breaks my heart. He's 17.
We need to have a limit to how many vape shops are allowed in one street and also allowed per town. They're nearly every second shops.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.